Flinky heaved a sigh and took the cutlass from his chief's paw.
Sure, and I don't know until I try. Shall I give it an old go?
Bad Red waved him to the door impatiently.
Well, put it, Newfoundland. We haven't got all night.
Flinky wedged the sword blade between the door jamb and the wall. He slid the blade down until it clinked dully against something.
Ah, there's your problem, Chief. 'Tis a bolt. Do you want me to try and chop through it?
The fox exhaled irately.
Anything! Just get on with it!
Flinky requested the aid of Floggo and Rog.
Come over to this door, buckos. Now, put your shoulders to it. Push now. That'll widen the gap so I can get a grand swing at the bolt. Push! Put those old bows down and push.
The door moved slightly under the pressure, creating a thin space. Flinky took the cutlass in both paws, raising it within the gap. Then he struck, whipping the blade down with all his might. Bing! As it struck the iron bolt, the blade snapped in half. Bad Red stared in silent horror at the stoat, who, still holding the handle and half a blade, was hop-skipping in agony, both paws numbed by the reverberation of metal upon metal. The vermin leader's voice rose to a disbelieving squeak.
Me sword! Me lovely cutlass! You've ruined it, idiot!
Tears squeezed from the corners of Flinky's eyes as he flung the half-cutlass on the ground.
I broke his stupid self! You're supposed to be the chief. Why didn't you ever go?
Bad Red seized the broken weapon.
Have a go! I'll have a go at you if you ain't careful, idiot! And you lot, a fine crew I've got sitting round slacking yourselves among the trees! Up on your paws, don't think! We'll have to find someplace else where we can get in. Jump to me!
As Bad Red strode off in foul mood, Plumnose called to him.
Chief! Me and Arm Chopper got the door open.
Bad Red dashed back to where Plumnose and Half Chop stood in the small doorway. Finding the door still closed, he fumed at them.
You brother-brained, wobble-nosed, broken-snouted loafets! Get going! Afore I carve clubs off of you with what's left of me sword!
But then, as Plumnose pushed the wicker door gently, it swung inward.
Open.
Half Chop walked through the open door and grinned.
Ka-chonk.
Flinky inspected the wall alongside the door.
Well now, ain't I the clever beast? I must have hit the bolt so hard that it broke through the old soft sandstone it bolts into. See, there's a chunk of it missing. Oh, here's the rest of your grand cutlass, Chief.
He presented the fox with the other half of the blade. Flinging it from him, Bad Red turned on the crew and hissed.
You lot, keep your mouth shut. Not a sound out of you. Follow me. Don't go clog off and all over the place. We're going to take a look around. Next move is to get inside the big building. Quietly now.
After taking food out to the west wall top for Torren and Junty, Martha and Sister Setiver returned to the abbey. Martha stayed in a chair below stairs, while Setiver went up to the dormitory to check upon the Dibbons. The shrew nurse was away only for a brief space of time, when a dismayed cry reached Martha. Setiver came hurrying back downstairs, carrying little Buffle, who was imprisoned in a pillowcase with only his head sticking out. The sister's voice shook with barely controlled anger.
Och, just on those rascals. I'll give him something to remember me by.
Buffle strained against the pillowcase knotted at his neck.
Rascals.
A look of fear crossed the hermaid's face.
What's happened, sister?
Setiver began trying to release Buffle.
Oh, those Dibbons, Muggum, Shully and Yooch. They've gone missing. Oh, the rest of the weans were fast asleep except Buffle. Do you see what they did? Trapped him in this old pillow slip so he couldn't follow him. Where in the name of all fire have they got to?
Buffle pulled a paw free and pointed out the abbey door. Junty Cellarhog ran his paw around the inside of his bowl and licked it.
Apple and blackberry crumble, mate. Oh, nothing like it.
Torren gazed longingly back toward the abbey.
Aye. Pity we're on wall guard all night. If the abbot sends out a relief, there might be some left when we get off duty.
Torren's keen eye suddenly noticed three small white-clad figures trundling across the lawn in his direction. Two were waving sticks and one swinging a ladle. He peered hard.
Look there, mate. That ain't no relief.
It was at that moment when things began happening fast.